You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome once again to yet another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast. I am one of your co-hosts, the radio guru, also lifelong wrestling fan. My name's Al John Go. Joined as always by my illustrious co-host, the wrestling heel, the commentator, also the purveyor of all things good, Mr. Stephen Anthony. Hello.
How's it going? I'm back from my 6-month suspension, and I appreciate you letting me talk on the internet again.
Man, it has been a long time since you and I had basically been on this road trip together as a broadcast team. There's been a lot of changes that has happened in the world of professional wrestling since the last time we took over the airwaves, but first of all, I have to say that I'm so happy to have you back on the show. We're going to try to do this as much as we can every week. We're going to try to bring you the global wrestling news, not to be confused with Global Force.
What's that?
They're apparently confused themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to do our very best to bring you some great wrestling news and commentary every single week there at ProWrestlingCast.com. You can check out the webcast courtesy of the Weeby Geeks network of podcasts. They're WeebyGeeks.net. And we'd love for you to subscribe to our iTunes feed, and it's also available on Stitcher Radio as well. So be sure to check that out.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
This week in wrestling news.
Let's get into this week in wrestling news. And since we've been gone for so long, Steven, we've actually had some of our big names in professional wrestling broadcasting, as we were fond of talking about during our last show, actually pass away. Let's talk about some of those names that have passed. I mean, you had Bobby the Brain Heenan, for one.
Wow. You know, what a huge... Man, that's such a huge guy for me because, you know, being in, I'm 40 now, my generation and your generation is the same. You know, we all remember Heenan when we were kids, and he was, you know, there are a lot of wrestlers we talk about, and a lot of people talk about how he's a great manager and how great he was as a wrestler and all these things he accomplished, even in WCW. But what's really cool about Heenan is that Heenan was popular. Right. You know, people, there are certain people know. Piper's one, Hogan, mm-hmm. Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, and Heenan's one of those guys, Andre the Giant. But Heenan resonates with people. It reminds them of their childhood. So not only is he a great performer, one of the five best mic guys, possibly, but he's also incredibly popular. And it always strikes me how nostalgic people really are about, you know, like 1986, you know, or 1987. Like right. those years resonate in people's minds. And that's what I think about with Bobby. Not just his great work with Bockwinkel. What is your fondest memory of Bobby? I kind of was wondering that because...
Man, my fondest memory of Bobby has to be WrestleMania 3. You know, And
pretty huge.
Just because of the biggest spectacle, especially the build into that match, Hogan, Andre, it was just, you know, insane. And the fact that he played such a pivotal role, you know, for Andre the Giant was great. So, I mean, I've got a lot of memories of him and Andre just, you know,
right.
On the little cart, you know, golf cart, just running off the field, you know, because, you know, it was just such a momentous occasion at the time. And, you know, and Heenan was to me just one of the best things about wrestling. Not because he was a great performer in ring.
Mm-hmm.
A great performer in ring. I mean, this is a man, a legend, who lived over 72 years, you know, as he passed away.
And his last 15 years were very brave.
Yep.
You know?
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So, I mean, you know, he was not only known as arguably the best wrestling manager of all time, arguably. I mean,
he's right there.
I think he's right there, right?
Yeah.
And color commentator. I mean, when you look at wrestling commentator teams, broadcast teams, you have Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, to me, is like that is the WWE sound.
You know, I used to watch that show when I was 7 or 8. It would come on at night. I think it was on a Monday, kind of when Raw was. And to think I would be so entertained by those two, I didn't even realize that they were what was entertaining, because they're showing... You know, you were lucky if you got a Killer Bees match out of that show. It was that
right,
jobber filled.
Exactly.
Their synergy was off the chart.
Well, yeah. I mean, and once again, it's, you know, he has such a prolific career, and he did so much to impact broadcasting and the product, the TV. When you look at the comedic bits that he did, when you look at the interviews and the late night talk shows and the different skits and the way he presented.
I know you're on there.
Unbelievable happenings in Toronto, CNN.
Something I want you to do.
What
I said there's something I want you to do. Hello.
We're on the air here. Are you having a problem or something?
Yes, I'm having a problem. I can hear Miss Betty, my secretary, but I can't. She don't hear me.
Oh, you actually want to talk to somebody on that phone?
What do you think I've been dialing for? Of course I want to talk to her. Hello.
Why don't you try
can
this?
You hear this?
You want to talk to somebody, you have to put this inside the telephone. You want to... Never ceases to amaze me, the intelligence of Bobby the Brain Heenan. Look at that. You're good.
Someone's been messing with my phone here now.
Unbelievable.
This is the cheapest phone I've ever seen in my life.
Unreal.
Now, wait a minute. Can I get a decent phone here? Is that a lot to ask?
You're
hello. Hello. Will somebody give me a decent phone? That's all I ask. Now I've got to put this thing together.
The Russo brothers' fantastic victory over the Dream Team. The
Don't
telephone
hang
with a big victory over Bobby the Brain Heenan. Plenty more still to come this week, wrestling fans. Let's take a look at the WWF on tour.
Items and the way he presented talent was just great. You know, I still use the term ham and eggers because of him. And, you know, just, you know, everybody had their little catchphrase, but man, I love the humanoids and the pencil, not the pencil neck geek, that's someone else. But
that's another great manager.
That is another great manager too. But, you know, just the ham and eggers, I just love that. And he really made Nitro somewhat tolerable in the downhill spiral of that program. And,
That was a downhill, you know, he was heading downhill. Only with that company, only because he's such a gracious and deep performer that he mirrors the very product he kind of does. You know, like when he was in the AWA, he was with the champion Bockwinkle, who
yes.
we love.
Yep.
When he was with Monsoon, it was the number one show. And when WCW was heading downhill, he was depressed and, quite frankly, possibly, you know, having a couple of drinks before the shows. I was hearing allegedly, you know, and that was representative of that company's inability to get things on track.
Yeah, if people don't care from the upper level, it just trickles down. But we, you know, as we dwell on the good things that the Brain did, I think one of the things that people forget is that he was a great wrestler, and it took an even better wrestler to pretend like he wasn't a wrestler.
Yeah. And his bumps are just fantastic. Even later in the career of Heenan, his bumps are fantastic. You know, and Ric Flair, by the way, that's my favorite memory of Heenan is Ric Flair with Heenan. I love when Flair had sent his title, his NWA title.
Oh, yeah.
Over, and he was just not on TV, and Heenan was just talking about this guy coming. I mean, that's the mastery of Heenan. He's just building him up before he's even there.
Well, it's a long lost art form. You know, you didn't have to produce the brain. He already had a lot of just knowledge and things he brought to the table. He knew what needed to be done, and he put over so many people, and was put into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2002. And of course, you know, ultimately, September 17th, he died at 72, surrounded by his family, the way, you know, a lot of us would want, in Largo, Florida. And he had organ failure due to his throat cancer. And you know, we alluded to that. He was, he was brave, and he also was very giving of his time to his fans, and no matter where he went, whether it was a fan event or whatever, and he couldn't speak, you know, his fans were like, you know, it's still the glimmer in that man's eye. You know, he just made it awesome, and he knew that he was there giving back to the fans, and the fans loved him as a result. And I was so happy I was able to get an autographed picture of him before he passed. And
When was that?
That was back in Chicago. I was back in Chicago this past year.
That's so wonderful that you saw him this year.
Yeah.
And you know, and he, even though he can't talk, he's still really funny.
Yeah. You know, he always posed showing his Hall of Fame ring. He knew that was, you know, what people wanted to see. And even though, a lot of people may not recognize him in passing, hardcore wrestling fans knew exactly who he was. And he's just such a great man, and he will be missed. But someone that really gave everything to the business that we love as just viewers. You know, we're just fans. And we're as a fan, thank you, Bobby Heenan, for presenting us with the Weasel costume. Thank you for, you know, being crazy on Monday Night Raw. Thank you for being an awesome manager, and thank you for the years and years of being in the ring and presenting that product. And
thank you so much for figuring out a way to get over Greg Gagne. That's amazing. That is amazing.
That's another podcast in and of itself.
That is shocking and amazing. But honestly, I want to say goodbye to him. He was one of the top five. Yeah. And those interviews with Bockwinkel, I'm sorry. Besides Ric Flair with the title or Harley Race, that's the third one. Heenan with Bockwinkel. Main event level stuff that you don't touch.
And Bockwinkel didn't need someone to speak for him, but when the two of them got together, it literally was a twin attack of just of epic proportions. And we played so many of the promos of the week to feature to feature the two of them. It's great. So yeah, Heenan, you know, you'll be missed. But how about this? You know, broadcasters add so much to the product, and particularly Lance Russell.
Oh, man.
So the man who basically was the voice of so many promotions, you're looking at the National Wrestling Alliance. You know, early on, Memphis Wrestling.
Mid-South Wrestling in Memphis. Yeah. He was so good, Al John. Let me just say this about Lance. I want to say two things, and not to jump on all over you.
Okay, but go for it.
But the fact that damn WWE didn't say anything about his passing really burns me up. And I could really start cussing up a storm here, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, we're doing it here.
Because you learn a lot when you're in jail, which is where I've been for the last 6 months. that guy, Charlie Brown, doing the show the last 6 months, that was a different guy. That wasn't me. He's from out of town. But no, really, They should have said something. And that's, I have a feeling that that's because, you know, I understand so many people die that they don't want to bring it up, and I understand he didn't work for him. But the other thing I wanted to bring up is they should bring him up, because just the mastery alone of I sent you the audio early in the week of him talking to Terry Funk before the Empty Arena match with Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
It's so realistic the way Lance that's just 5 or 6, 7, 10 minutes, whatever. Just the way he goes, "Well, Terry, come on, we're trying to use this video for the show. If you come and curse so much, you gotta stop cursing."
Yeah,
you know,
check that
it sounds
out.
Sounds so real.
Right. Talking about kayfabe, you know, he really knew what he was doing. He's definitely sold that empty arena match, Lawler,
yeah.
Funk. I mean, that, you know, he really did sell that. And he was involved with so many other things. You know, when it comes down to Memphis Wrestling, when you look at some of the great all-time interviews that came out of Memphis Wrestling, he was conducting that interview. Whether it's the Road Warriors, whether
Kaufman, it's... Andy Kaufman.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We are at the end. And for a while, I was not sure we would ever get here, as a matter of fact. I think we would have to term the last of the battle to be the championship brawling of the week, because, you know, it's great. You sit here and say, boy, you should have seen what happened. And you can't, because we couldn't get our cameras to it. They ended up in the concession stand, busted out the window, the popcorn machine, candy everywhere. You wouldn't believe the mess that took place, and they were still battling. Blood everywhere from Hickerson and Condry, and from Robert Gibson and the King, and it was some kind of a mess. Officially, let's put it this way, the way the bout came out, the first ball went to the team of Hickerson and Condry, Al Costello's wrecking crew, defeating Robert Gibson. Lawler and Gibson came back with a quick 2 minute and 55 second win in the second fall of action. And then the third fall, they really got grinding away as they pounded each other from pillar to post, boomerang to head, and everywhere else. And ultimately, after it was all over with, ended up in the concession stand. The winners, Lawler and Gibson's. Next week, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
And so when you think about this, when you think about wrestling and wrestling announcers, you know, Lance is part of that equation. You think of guys like Gordon Solie. You think Jim Ross. You know, you think Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan.
Right.
And those are the guys that really laid the foundation of what made TV compelling. They didn't have flashy graphics. They didn't have flashy lights. Much like today, they didn't have pyro. So,
right.
So, you know.
But so
yeah.
Good.
But it's
you
so
know,
good.
And
yeah.
He's one of the top five announcers. You can't bring it up on this stupid 3,000-hour show and say, "Hey, this guy was pretty great." You know, that's all. And you know what? I'm not surprised, because you know, they seem to, or someone seems to be getting meaner with age. I swear it.
Well, we'll talk
anyway,
about that.
Let's not be negative while we're talking about Lance.
Well, let's leave it on a positive.
Absolutely.
After 91 years, he did have some complications due to a hip fall, but this is a great tribute to the man Lance Russell, who has been featured on this program before. And I, if you want, please check it out on either the network or YouTube and see all the great interviews and the way he presents things. And to I think the Lance Catamaran character from what is it, the WWE retro wrestling, I forgot what the one that John Cena's character, he definitely trying to get that Lance Russell kind of
I mean, Cena's a student of the game.
Well, so is his father, who is a wrestling announcer.
Yeah. John Cena Sr. John is out Cena there on Twitter.
Yeah.
And in the indie shows. But yeah, John Cena is a student of the game. And, you know, paying tribute to Lance Russell, that's what we're talking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was one of the top three. I think it's Ross, Sully, and him.
Right.
As far as people announcing a match.
Right.
And he did so many good angles on that show. I mean, it's unbelievable how much stuff, and you have to give it up for him for helping put it over.
Absolutely. Lance Russell, look him up. Do yourself a favor and look him up. And, of course, the best of Heenan on the WWE Network, and you can see all of the great things he did and contributed to the world of professional wrestling. Now, as we move on, we do have, you know, some wrestling news, controversy after controversy. You know, in the time of our absence, we have had the legal goings on with, you know, Jeff Jarrett leaving Global Force and Global Force leaving TNA Impact, which is now Impact, which is now owned by Anthem, which has been in legal issues with the Hardys for gimmick infringement and, you know, just so many other things. And, you know, the right now the show is still on, and who knows if they're going to be renewed.
Well, you know, it's sad because they could have a really good show. I think they might be in trouble, but why should I even say that? They've always figured out a way.
Yep.
You know, when I heard Jeff Jarrett had showed up at Triple Mania, all right, let me tell you this. Because quite frankly, Al John, we could run into Jeff Jarrett at any time.
Yeah.
So we have to be really careful when we say, because he is a wrestler. Even though he's a really nice person, his wife's very nice too.
Yep.
But I will say one thing about, and I know people are like, that's weird. Oh, he must have some personal demons. He's showing up at AAA in no condition to work. Let me say two things. One, we weren't there, so we don't know.
Nope.
And two, he was, because he was back in my partying days, I saw this, a member of the Music City Mafia, which is a kind of like the main event mafia was, but they were actually over, and the Music City Mafia was more or less run by John Rich, who was their world champion, and Jeff Jarrett was like number five or six heel on their roster, and they would party really hard. So I'm just telling you that Jeff parties hard. You know, that doesn't mean he has some sort of issues. So maybe that's the deal. Maybe Triple A wanted a way out or something, but you never know. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I could run into him.
Well, that is something else. You know, I mean, we wish Jeff all the best, and my run-ins with Jeff have been very few and very limited, but he's always been very gracious. I will say this, that Impact still is not a bad show.
No, it's not bad.
It's not a bad show.
It's a shame what happened with Del Rio. Oh, by the way. Excuse me if I toot my own horn.
Okay, toot.
Didn't I call this whole Del Rio Page thing? I mean, I told you the guy was like his character. I told you he'd break up with the girl. I told you he'd flame out. I never said what I really thought, but you know what I was thinking. But anyway, it's a shame because Del Rio is a great heavyweight champion for a smaller company.
This is true. This is true. But
so that's sad.
They have had some interesting things going down, though, in the world of Impact Wrestling, and I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but they right now have got a deal with Pluto TV for, more coverage in homes, which is great, and you can watch it whenever you want. Yeah, you can watch it whenever you want to your Pluto TV connected device. Streaming is free. You can get it on all the Pluto TV app on all the different platforms. And it's not just that, but you can also check out the GWN test drive. So if you check out GWN, you'll be able to check out all of these different streaming services and all these different shows. Josh Matthews wrote about it earlier, I guess this week or two. Regarding it, and if you want to know more, all you have to do is check out impactwrestling.com. Watch classic Impact matches, legendary pay-per-views anywhere with GWN. So check that out where you can.
They do have classic matches in their catalog. That I will definitely say. They have some really classic stuff. And one more thing, it's a shame they lost Cornette. Yeah. And I understand they're going to Canada. You know, and God, it all hit me, Al John. They're called Anthem Sports. They named themselves after that Rush song on Fly By Night. I'm telling you, that's what they did.
They probably did.
It's because I'm a Neil Peart mark.
Oh,
maybe.
Is that right? Maybe it's because I met Alex Lifeson from Rush like 2 weeks ago.
Did you? 2 weeks ago? Tell me what happened.
I was in Canada. I was working in Canada for 2 weeks, and I ended up meeting. Yeah, check out my Instagram. You'll see.
I'm off the grid. Completely.
I'll show you a picture after we hang up. I'll text it to you. But Alex was great. He was driving a brand new Ferrari in white, like all of his guitars, just amazing.
Give me a break. So they're never really gonna tour. They're never gonna tour again. Somebody said to me, I shouldn't be talking about Rush all of a sudden. Oh, you know, don't worry, Neil's gonna go back on tour. Neil's not the type of guy that just comes back on his word. When his mind's made up, he's a man's man about it.
Well,
and that's why we love him. So I'm afraid they're probably done, Rush fans.
Well, maybe we should start the show with some Rush. How about that?
Maybe that. If you put on that sick-ass song, By Tour in the Snow Dog, then maybe I'll agree to it. I don't know.
Okay. But,
anyway,
they are making some strides.
Or Limelight.
Or Limelight. Limelight is one of my favorites. Absolutely.
That's what everybody starts their show with, it seems like.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, you know, we have some Johnny Impact. Johnny Mundo is on the show now, making waves.
I never thought
I'd see the day, but he's great. God bless him. And then we also, and once again, we have we still have a really great roster, and Eli Drake being the current Impact champion,
that doesn't work for me. That's the one thing I will say.
Well, I told you, it was last year during our end of the year special, that I told you that I thought Eli Drake was the most improved wrestler.
I think
he was on my list for most improved wrestler in terms of personality and coming out. And you know, that's great. I mean, you know, someone's going to be champion, has to be in a program probably with EC3, maybe in the near future. Of course, Bound for Glory is set.
The 5th, right?
Yeah, it's supposed 5th. To be November 5th on pay-per-view right there from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. So they're going to be doing that. And it looks to be a pretty, pretty cool card. I mean, you have a lot of great talent here. Well,
You know? Cornette's online yapping that it's going to be the best thing ever, and I mean it'll be at least good if he says that, because he's not with them anymore, which, or maybe he is, and this is a stupid ruse. Who knows? He's been the best thing in their show in a while, though.
Yeah. Well, they still have some pretty good talents there, and you know, give it a shot. Take a look. You know. I think they're still, you know, I still try to catch Impact when I can. So that's not too bad. Let's talk about...
I can catch it later if that's usually better. But I'll still catch it. How about that?
Okay, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
That's fine. Really quick, you know, we had an interesting pay-per-view event on the WWE Network. We had Hell in a Cell. Surprisingly, that was a really decent show from start to finish. You know, great tag match between the Usos and New Day. The Kevin Owens versus McMahon match was really good. Those alone is kind of worth the price of admission, especially considering that People Magazine decided to run with a kayfabe article that was posted by the WWE saying that Shane McMahon had multiple internal injuries and was rushed to a hospital instead of a medical facility, and took it and ran with it. And then later on, the WWE had to respond saying that that was not the case. It was unconfirmed. And it's like, well, they just took the info from your your news release that you posted on your website, which...
So Newsweek is fake news as far as Vince
People,
is
People
concerned.
Magazine, People Magazine.
People Magazine, sorry.
People Magazine,
I know,
reported,
Newsweek's fake news.
Yeah, People Magazine reported fake news from a fake source that was pushing a storyline. Right.
This is the most hideous fake news story since that thing I read on Newsweek about Dolph Ziggler being as good as Shawn Michaels.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because that's fake news.
There's a lot of that going on.
I thought the pay-per-view was okay. Let me just say this, because it's been 6 long months since I got out of jail with Jimmy Valiant.
Oh, my.
And let me just say this. He's a hell of a cook, but let me just say this. Gender mania has been running wild the whole time, and I couldn't say nothing about it, and it makes me sick.
Okay.
And I know there are these people online like you, Al John.
Yeah.
Like you, marks that like crap like the Four Horsemen and Ultimo Dragon and all this garbage. And you don't, and you're trying to hinder the gender.
I am not hindering the gender. I like the gender.
Gender mania is running wild. Of course Shinsuke Nakamura should job to him twice in a row. I'm being sarcastic. Brian Alvarez, who I like to listen to, said, all you people keep saying gender and all this crap, and you're not going to think it's funny when he has the title for a long time. The only people that think this is funny are people that don't like SmackDown. And I got to say that Brian is right. I just thought it'd be funny that he seems like a nice guy, and I'm happy for him. But... You got Orton jobbing to him 3 times because he doesn't care. He'll just go on the bus and take a nap. And then you got Nakamura, who, you know, he's from Japan. So he's like, you want me to do a job? Sure. Where you want it? He doesn't care. Boy, you want to talk about a guy that's taking some time off. I need to take a vacation like that where I get paid more money and I just take time off. Not too much.
Oh, man.
I think the best match he's had in WWE is the one we saw at that NXT house show together.
Right.
I mean, literally. But if he can't get a star and a half or 2 stars out of him, if Nakamura cannot get a 2.5-star match out of a guy, even on his extended vacation, where he's, you know, taking pictures with the divas mostly on Twitter, right. If he can't even do that, I don't know what to say about the guy. But I will tell you what's going to happen next, because I'm so wise. I'm wiser than Dave Meltzer.
Oh.
He's not my father. It's a reverse Luke Skywalker situation.
Okay.
Dave, let me tell you, AJ Styles is the next in line, and he's going to be doing the J-O-B because gender mania is running wild in the streets. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so. I don't know why.
I
do know why. It's for the India deal, and that's great. But you know, hey,
timing's wrong. I think yeah. He had the wrong opponent. When you're trying to, you know, build up for Nakamura, AJ Styles at WrestleMania or whatever your plans are going to be, face versus face, whatever the case is, this is not very good.
Well, Aljon, real quick, my plans for Nakamura are Nakamura versus Kenny Omega in Japan in about a year and a half. I just wanted to say that.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. And that's fine. What has been working for me is actually the tag team division.
You know? Yeah, it's good. It's solid. Good.
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, that's good.
You know, okay, that was cute. Yeah, I like the hug thing.
But the miscasting of Sami Zayn, the perennial babyface with a heel turn, because he's been slighted. We can kind of see where this is going, and that's okay. I mean, the intrigue was good, and the reasoning behind it actually had some kind of sense to it. I get that Bobby Roode being a face, which he should be a heel against Dolph Ziggler, who. No one really is caring about, unfortunately. You know, he's trying really hard with this thing, and Bobby Roode, that's cool. And then the women, you know, you have Charlotte and Talia.
That's been tough, John. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well,
they haven't used them well, especially my girl Charlotte. What has happened?
Well, that's because I think they're waiting for other people to come into the thing. The other thing I'm not down with is Baron Corbin. Not down with Baron Corbin. haven't been a fan of Baron Corbin's work. I think he's just, you know, God bless AJ Styles for having to deal with it.
clean as a sheet jobbing to Baron Corbin. That's what AJ Styles does.
Yep. So,
clean as a sheet.
But believe it or not, SmackDown still has been a pretty watchable show outside of outside of the overacting of the Singh brothers. So I'm
the Singh brothers suck at acting, and quite honestly, the scripts they write for the ladies is offensive to me.
Yeah.
As if women talk to each other like that.
Nope.
You know, what they do is they like, you know, they might think like that, but they if they did, they wouldn't say it. That's just not realistic. You know, even if she hated, even if Natalya hated Charlotte and said, uh-huh, your daddy and all this crap, she would never actually say it. It's just, it just doesn't sound right. And it's embarrassing for me to see sometimes. And I don't think it's their fault, you know? So, you know, you know, you had her on top of the world. She was a number three draft pick or whatever when they had the, I'm talking about Charlotte, and she had the belt and the whole thing and the fireworks and the robe and I don't know.
Yep. On WWE Raw, you know, I think what is working is The Miz. He is still a great, compelling character. The Miz Taraj being his backup band, I think, is great because when The Miz talks, it actually he makes compelling television. I find myself waiting to see when Miz TV's on, and I don't turn the channel. And since we don't have Talking Smack anymore for him, and he got drafted over to the other side, you know, Raw has benefited from his personality, seemingly put into the main event slot, and now being paired with the Toothless Wonder, Cesaro and Sheamus, doing this, you know, fighting against the Shield, the newly reunited Shield, which is, I guess, one way to get Roman Reigns over. Is
About Roman. It's all about Roman, and they've pulled the trigger on the idea now, and I'd always heard they were going to do it, and hey guys, just deal with it. That this is a different entity. That you know, if you want to see 5-star or 6-star matches, go watch Japan. You can watch Ring of Honor too or PWG. But if you want to see this type of stuff, this is what they do. So you can get all the AJ Styles in the world you want. You're never going to see anything different. This is what they do. They take a guy, they marketing, they have a huge marketing department behind him, and they push him. And if you don't like the guy, they don't really care because this is all of your fault for continuing to buy tickets while John Cena was booed. That's really the deal. So if, you know, that's what it is. They said, well, that works, screw you. You know, this isn't the days of the Ultimate Warrior, you know, where it's like, wow, he's getting a big pop. They put the belt on them, the houses go down, they take the belt off. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's a different business model, and it has nothing to do with 5-star matches. It has nothing to do with proper heat. And I think that's what the Shield thing is all about. They are willing to sacrifice Ambrose and Rollins. Aljon, let me ask you, do you think they've given up on Rollins in some way?
I don't think they've given up on Rollins. Obviously, they've put in a lot, because he is the cover of WWE 2K18, which is their big video game release of the year.
But everyone knows that that video game cover is cursed.
Right.
Oh, wait, is that Sports Illustrated? I can't remember.
So, you know, they put in a lot of work, you know, with Rollins. I just think that there are only so many places to be at the top of the card, and they have to shuffle the talent, and they do things. I still think they have a big problem with miscasting characters, where the natural inclination or the narrative that has been part of the character's development since they've debuted is not jiving with what the fans want or how they're responding to the character. And to me, if you subscribe to the philosophy of following the audience makes money, they pay, and they're happy to bring certain talent to a certain place of either a face or heel type of a characterization, you know, their response should be indicative of what type of character they're playing. And WWE over the past few years has been doing the exact opposite of that to the character's detriment. We easily, you know, they think that people forget about what happens to them week after week and month after month and year after year. But, you know, audiences don't forget. The fact that when they reunited the Shield and Rollins and Ambrose kind of looked at each other and go, man, you know, we've had a sordid past. The fact that they even mentioned that, an angle that happened in 2012, 2013, yeah, was unbelievable to me that they would even, you know, do that. Or was it 2012? Maybe it was even 2015, you know?
When they did what thing?
When they had, you know, feuded over the title, because, or when he, when the Shield broke up, rather. And he put a chair to Dean Ambrose. And I'm thinking to myself, that was only a few years back, and they actually acknowledged it. They never acknowledged things like that.
Yeah, well, they had a lot of main event level-ish matches 2015 into 16, didn't they? I remember a couple of boring Extreme Rules matches.
Yep. So, you know,
doesn't make sense for them to hang out.
No.
You know, and it doesn't make sense for Sami Zayn to hang out with Kevin Owens either.
Well, they're trying to.
I'm just saying.
They're trying to with the different promos. They're like, you know, at the end of the day, Sami and Kevin were like, well, you know, Shane McMahon had him beat, and then all of a sudden, Shane wanted to end his career, and I couldn't let it happen because at the end of the day, even though we fight, we're still brothers. So.
What if I'm gonna fantasy book? And this is easy. Zayn and Owens become close friends that are kind of evil-ish. And then Jericho makes a return when they're trying to do their own festival of friendship, and he has a new partner. That would be a really nice WrestleMania
event. Yeah, that would be an interesting main event for sure. I wonder who that could be.
Probably Lance Storm.
their tag team in
They were called Thrill Seekers.
Over there.
They were seeking thrills, like, and that's, yeah, I saw the video the other day. They were seeking thrills, they'd go on the merry-go-round in Sevierville.
Yeah. You know? Wow,
that was just thrilling. Or the bumper cars in Pigeon Forge, you know.
That is thrilling.
Yeah,
that
look out, danger.
Watch out. Yeah. There's you know, speaking of danger, it is dangerous to post selfies of you, yourself, with people from another federation on Instagram, apparently. Jimmy Jacobs, producer for WWE, had been posted a selfie of himself with the Young Bucks in the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
And according to several wrestling news organizations, Pro Wrestling Sheet reported that Jimmy Jacobs is no longer employed by WWE because of the famous Bullet Club invasion that took place a couple weeks back.
Fantastic
where
episode.
Where the WWE asked, so you need to watch Be the Elite and check it out. And then you have to realize that anybody that has anything to do with those guys apparently are going to be getting heat with the office as a result, because immediately after the invasion in Ontario, California, a couple weeks ago, where Bullet Club members were making fun of the WWE, much like the WCW got invaded by DX about, 20 years ago?
At least 20. I think it was 30 or 40?
Who knows now?
How old are
back
we?
In the,
64?
Back in the 90s? Back in the 90s?
We're invading Raw tonight.
Yeah! Enough is enough, Nick. It's time to get our catchphrases back.
FTR, right? I'm going to be out there looking for that stooge.
Absolutely. I'm going to get Marty's umbrella back.
That's right.
I'm going to get my last name back.
Good for you.
This is unprecedented, guys.
This is war.
Yeah, this is war. It's almost like...
We're in. We're in the building. Guys, we're in the building. We're in the building. Let's go find the stooge.
We're staff.
Hey, wrestling fans. We are the Bullet Club. And we are here to invade Monday Night Raw!
when they came to WCW, came to the same time WWF was in, and they were giving away tickets. Once again,
it was 19 years ago. If you want an exact number, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm sorry.
Almost 20 years ago, right? Okay. So So they did the same thing. Bullet Club comes. WWE's handing out some free tickets, and
I don't think that was real. I think they just
said well, we all know that live event attendance has been down overall.
Oh, well, have you seen the SmackDown pictures?
Not good. So once again, during that time, they said, you know what, WWE, we're going to protect our trademark of their too sweet hand gesture and present the Young Bucks with a cease and desist letter from WWE Legal saying they're no longer able to produce merchandise with the little Wolfpack sign. Okay. Hand gesture. Yeah. A hand gesture of all things. They're trying to protect that. And now they fire one of their producers, Jimmy Jacobs, which, you know, Jimmy Jacobs has had a pretty good career behind the scenes, working for Ring of Honor, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, working here for WWE. And this is what happens, you know. Is WWE getting, you said maybe the Vince McMahon is getting a little bit more cranky in his older age?
Yeah, he is, but still, this is exactly what they do. But let me make a few comments. First of all, you know, X-Pac, Scott Hall, I've both heard say that they're really cool with the guys doing the hand gestures. And that is something that the Click, which is still one of the best damn group of wrestlers ever, the Click did back in 95. And they would say it means like it's an Italian symbol for wolf. And you know, they had this, or Romanian. It was something like that. It's their hand gesture. Second of all, they are right to send a cease and desist to me, to tell them not to do the hand gesture. It's not their hand gesture. It's just not. They didn't come up with the NWO, and they didn't come up with the Wolf Pack, you know? I do want to say that the Being the Elite show, I can't wait for it to come on. My wife, every now and then, she'll go, is Being the Elite up on YouTube yet? She wants to see it anytime it's up. We get all excited. And it's really been a great show. It's introduced her a lot closer to guys like Marty Scurll, Adam Cole, you know, non-WWE and, you know, back then at least, non-New Japan talent that she wouldn't normally see. Adam Page, too. And, you know, I don't like the Young Bucks matches. I think they're really stupid spot fests, but I love the Young Bucks because of the show. And I thought that episode was like one of the best things they've done. Cody Rhodes, I couldn't have cared less about him as a mid-carder or low mid-carder in WWE. Now I think he's spectacular as Ring of Honor champion and his character on Being the Elite. I think the Bullet Club's the coolest thing in the world. I just wanted to say to all those people listening that were on that Facebook page that I was right all along about Vince McMahon, not only the Bullet Club name, when they were yelling at me. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
And I threatened them with forced fellatio I were wrong, and because I knew it was right. Not forced fellatio. I just offered it because I knew it was right. But, Al John, that's where all of this comes from. They don't own Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Bullet Club was started by a guy named Finn Balor,
right,
and a booker named Gato, who's a lot better booker than some people these days. And that's what the Bullet Club is. So this is just, they've gotten the Bullet Club so over, the WWE.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
And that's great.
To steal the name. They tried to sue him. This is brilliant. But Jimmy Jacobs got caught in the crosshairs, and that's just how they are. If you want to dance with the devil's going to come collect, you know what I'm saying, brother. So you better choose wisely. You want to be like Cody, or you want to be like Dolph Ziggler in life?
Wow, okay.
There you go.
Well, that said, once again, we shall see how the cease and desist letters are being handed out. One of the other things I wanted to mention was the fact that Neville apparently is not happy with the WWE, so much to the fact that there's reports of him walking out on the company at the ninth hour during WWE Raw this past Monday, to the fact that they had to rewrite the show multiple times, and they had to rewrite the fact that the Cruiserweight title was going to go on to Kalisto, And yes. There was a bunch of stuff that was going down as a result. I mean, there's heat on Enzo Amore. There's obviously Neville being unhappy. And have you heard of any updates regarding Neville? I mean, there hasn't been an official word uttered by anybody.
Well, there won't be because he's officially under contract, and that's the way that is. Hold on, let's see, WrestlingObserver.com. No, I don't see any updates on it. But, I did hear from a source that, he went to the show, and they said, allegedly, okay, we're going to have you jobbing to the relentlessly annoying and heat-seeking missile Enzo Amore. I don't know the guy, but this is what they say about him. And I think Neville's like, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm tired of this garbage, you know? And as a guy that used to watch Dragon Gate 10 years back when Dragon Gate was one of the only cool things to see stuff like that on, I understand. You know, he's like, dude, this isn't 205 Live. This is 205 Jive. And I'm out of here, bro. And I think that's probably what happened, though.
Wow.
And I don't know, but, you know, he decided to dance with the devil, too. So they will decide if he gets released from his contract or not. And by the way, if you go to your job and you say, I'm not doing my job today, and you go home, they're not inclined to pay you. However, you are under contract and can't work elsewhere. I would have just done the job.
Right.
You know, I'm just being real. Put over the guy's a little goofy, Enzo Amore. I don't know his story, but if they want you, he has heat. If they want you to do a job to him, just job to the guy. I don't know.
Right.
But I understand where he's coming from, too. I just don't like to see people caught in the crosshairs of their legal department.
That's the one that hurts the most is WWE legal. We have so much we can do and talk about over the next few weeks. So once again, Pro Wrestling Cast, you can catch up with all of our archive shows. I'm just glad we're back on the interwebs. Stephen Anthony, of course, you have been an absolute delight to share the airtime with. We're going to leave you with one of Bobby's great promos. I think this one is going to be, as you mentioned, in preparation for Ric Flair coming into the WWF at the time.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you a little bit of the brain. And in the meantime, once again, like and subscribe to our shows there. We're going to try to get this on YouTube. YouTube's being a pain, but if anything, you can check out our podcast there on iTunes, on Stitcher, and the Weeby Geeks Network at weebygeeks.net. And don't forget to shop and like and subscribe to all of our stuff. We've got those links there to Amazon. Please support the show in that way, and we would really appreciate you. In the meantime, I'm Al John Go. And on behalf of the Wrestling Heel Commentator, the man, Stephen Anthony, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Don't forget to tuck your head. See ya.
Pro Wrestling Cast, promo of the week.
What I'm holding here is the belt that belongs to the real world champion. Oh, no, not Hulk Hogan. Presently, the man that owns this belt is under contract to another organization. But in the near future, he may be arriving in the World Wrestling Federation. If so, it would be my honor and privilege to be the advisor of this man. Now, you want to compare this belt to Hulk Hogan's? That would be like comparing ice cream to horse manure. You want to compare the man that wears this belt to Hulk Hogan? That would be like comparing ice cream to horse manure. You see, Hulk Hogan is the World Wrestling Federation champion. The man that owns this belt is the real champion, Ric Flair.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.
This program is powered by Tascam. Tascam's mini studio creator, US 42, is your new personal production and online broadcast studio featuring a professional quality audio interface and a number of unique real-time effects. The mini studio creator delivers everything you need for your podcast or webcast. Find out more at Tascam.com, part of the Gibson family of brands.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out Kristen's new website, MagicalJourneysVacations.com, for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.